Okay, so last week we began a new question, and I just want to remind us what that question is. So the question that we began looking at last week is, will there be anything familiar about the new heaven and the new earth, right? So if you weren't paying attention, I'm going to say that one more time, because this is what we'll be looking at tonight. Hopefully we'll be kind of bringing this question to a good conclusion tonight. We're going to be fairly fast-paced, which is why I had that printout. In hindsight, I think that you may have to have a magnifying glass to make sense of that printout, but at least you won't lose it because it's only a single piece of paper that you have to keep track of. So if there's a plus side, you don't have to worry about where the other pieces to that puzzle will be. You just fold that up, take it with you, get your magnifying glass or your or your telescope from afar or microscope up close to make sense of the words that are on that page. Also, if you're interested and you are seeing impaired in any way, that paper probably demonstrates all of us having a hard time to see there. I can send you the digital version of that, which is much easier to see. It's actually what I'll be going off of here tonight. So what I'd hoped with that was to put together this idea that we began exploring last week. And in last week's lesson, what I realized about 30 minutes in is I succeeded in it being somewhat overwhelming in text because the sheer volume of reading like anything from the book of Ezekiel at length can have this effect of causing us and causing our minds just to kind of phase out and go somewhere else. Even though there are beneficial things to see there, it's just difficult for us to go at any length for any amount of time and not have that tendency to be like, oh, look, there's a squirrel over there, and our minds go off in 1,000 other directions. And the problem with what I was trying to demonstrate last week, kind of a weakness of that, is that the sheer volume of it can cause us to maybe miss the point of what I was trying to demonstrate by the sheer volume of what's there. So if you could read clearly what's on the paper that I'd handed out to you, it is a parallel of the book of Revelation with all of the references that are drawn from to compile this picture. So last week I led off with this and ended with this idea, specifically for answering the question of will there be anything familiar about the new heaven and the new earth, with this idea. I wanted this to be kind of something that sticks in our mind, that so beautifully familiar are the sights that we will see that the picture of heaven has been painted for us by the brushstrokes of the promises that have been given to us from the very beginning. So the handout that you have is that hard work done for you. I have gone through and attempted to line up. If you look to the right side of that, you'll see the passages in Revelation, the verses, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way down into chapter 22, verse 5, as well as in the, if you move from the right across to the left, the next section that you'll see there is excerpts from Revelation that if you move one column further over in that text and look, you'll see, I want to make it easy for you to see the connections, right? The irony is not lost on me that this is the hardest piece of paper to read on the planet now that I've done this. so don't think that's something that's lost on me in demonstrating yet another one of those places where it's like, man, Landon, you could do better. So if you moved over, you would see then the next column, which is the second column from the left, being the Old Testament text that feeds into the ideas that are there laid out in Revelation. And then if you go all the way to the very first column on the left, you'll see the Old Testament reference. So what I would encourage you to do is take this, go back, fact check, make sure that the details are there. But what I wanted to demonstrate tonight, the approach that I'm going to take here is this. I want us to ask this question. What did John see? What did John see? When John was looking, and he says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, at a high level, what did he see? What did he see? And I've tried to kind of put together as simple a statement as possible to kind of give your mind a place to be looking towards when we think about what is it that I should take away when I read Revelation chapter 21. Leading into the first verses of Revelation chapter 22. Start with this. What is it that he sees? And he tells us, I see a new heaven and a new earth. And he says, the angel there was going to show him the bride of Christ, right? The wife of the Lamb. And then when he looks and he begins describing, which is what we're going to be looking at, which is what we're asking the question over, is there anything familiar there? And as we read it, we find ourselves oftentimes thinking, well, there's a lot there that doesn't seem familiar at all. I don't want us to be there, right? At the end of tonight, the place that I want us to be is I want us to be in a place where when we think about what John saw, we ourselves understand that he saw beautifully familiar sights, right? That when he looked and he saw the new heaven and the new earth, that he didn't see strange things, that he had no idea about what it looked like or how to explain it, or that he was struggling to describe what it is that he saw, but that it was so beautifully familiar, the things that he was looking at, that he could in fact go back and tell the story about what he saw simply by reading scriptures that were old, right? So what I'm going to do over the next couple of minutes is try to point you to this. So what does John see? John sees the perfect completion of all of God's promises to his people. If I were going to summarize, if you're like, what did he see when he saw the new heavens, the new earth? What did he see when he gives us this description of the bride and he describes it as a city and he see these dimensions? What is it that he sees? John sees the perfect completion of all of God's promises to his people. That's what he sees. As simple as I can describe what I'm going to try to demonstrate to you by reading the Old Testament, and in reading the Old Testament, reading the vision of what John saw. So y'all with me? You'll see kind of where I'm going to try to go with this. I'm going to try to give you the vision of John by only reading the Old Testament. That's what the paper that I've got printed out and given to you is an attempt. If you were to only read the second column of that, only read the second column, that's what I'm going to be doing here. And then as I'm reading through, if you can see what's there in parallel, look and notice. There is not a single thing, and this is what I'd mentioned last week, that there is not a single thing that he says in describing that vision, that there is not a direct callback to something that was promised in the Old Testament. And to demonstrate that to you, I'm going to read the promises of the Old Testament. And if you were reading Revelation in parallel, you would only think that I were reading from a different translation, right? Like, if you were in the NIV, you might be like, well, he's in the NLT, right? You will be able to follow through the same themes, the same ideas, the same concepts, I'm not reading Revelation from a different translation of the Bible than you. I'm going to be reading the Old Testament. Right? So when I say that he paints the picture of heaven with the promises of old, that's what I'm going to be doing tonight. Right? I'm going to be painting for you this picture of what John saw simply by going back and looking at the verses that he leveraged in describing them to us. Right? And in that, here's the takeaway. When we're answering the question, is it familiar? Absolutely, it's familiar. The point is not the measure. The point is that that measure and those promises has already been laid out before. And then when he's describing it to us, he's using those promises to paint the picture, right? So is heaven going to be familiar to us? Absolutely, 100%, without a doubt, it will be something very beautifully familiar to us. So much so that literally the promises of the Old Testament are used in painting the picture of what he saw when he looked upon this new heaven, this new earth, this bride of the Lamb. All right? So I'm going to do this. I'm going to do two passes. I'm going to do two passes of this. First pass, I'm just going to read it all together. Second pass, we'll go through each of the verses and then we'll just look at the parallel in Revelation, right? Shouldn't take us too long. It's going to depend on how quickly I read, of course. So when I start here in a second, until I stop, know that I'm reading chained together Old Testament verses, right? If you want to follow along which ones they are, you can look on that far left column there. But what you should pay attention to as I read it is that this ought to sound a lot like the vision that John paints for us of the new heaven and the new earth, right? So I'm reading only Old Testament here. What did he see? For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, for the former things shall not be remembered nor come to mind. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. My dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the God of the whole earth he is called. And the name of the city from that time shall be, the Lord is there. I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony and lay your foundation with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of agate, your gates of carbuncles, and all your wall of precious stones. And I will give you shepherds after my own heart, and I will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And when you have multiplied and been fruitful in the land in those days, declares the Lord, they shall no more say, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind or be remembered or missed. It shall not be made again. At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall gather to it. In the presence of the Lord in Jerusalem, they shall no more stubbornly follow their own evil heart. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness the moon give you light. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your gates shall be opened continually. Day and night they shall not be shut, that people may bring to you the wealth of the nations with their kings led in procession. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For there shall no more come into you uncircumcised and the unclean. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And on the banks on both sides of the river there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. But they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water from them flows from the sanctuary. For the fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. And it shall be inhabited, for there shall never again be decree of utter destruction. Jerusalem shall dwell in security. For I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been delivered. The Lord will be your everlasting lights and your light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom. Now, if you are following with me, and if you're still with me, paying attention here, I have only been reading for you from the Old Testament. But each and every one of these verses, if we use them to paint this picture, what do we see? What do we see when we look at the promises of God in the Old Testament? When we see them and we trust in the one who made those promises, who has demonstrated time and time again that he is faithful to bring those promises to completion perfectly and completely. We trust in that in faith, do we not, church? We trust that the one that's made these promises to us will keep those promises. Right? When John looks and sees heaven, and then the Spirit inspires him to write down what he sees, the things that he sees, he describes with the things we've been hoping for. Does that make sense? When he paints the picture of what we see, of what he sees, when he paints that picture, though when you look at it out of context of what he's saying, it can be confusing, and it can cause you to be like, well, it must be a city that stretches way, way out past the skyscrapers. And if you convert it to the actual dimensions, literally past the space station in space, and we start thinking, how would he do such a thing, right? And then you take this and you transpose it back into the promises that he had made, and you see the promises, and you see this same pattern that we were looking at as we were reading through Ezekiel last time that we were together. And then you see the dimensions of that and the promises of what they hope for. And you see in Revelation as he's describing, he's using the same type of language, the same patterns. He's literally using the Old Testament to paint this picture for us. And then we see this magnification of it. Not only the completion of promises, but the picture of the completion of these promises being magnified beyond what we could have ever hoped for. Does that make sense? I sure hope that that makes sense. So when I ask the question, and we've looked at this from a couple of different angles, and actually the way that we're going to do this tonight, we're pretty much at the end of where we're going to go tonight. I'm going to leave it to you to go back and to look at the parallels between these. Because I think if we did that, it would take way longer than I anticipate to go verse by verse through these. We're already about 20 minutes in, so I'm gonna save you from that. What I want us to take away as we consider Revelation and what it has to say to us in regards to what we should look for and hope for in heaven eternal. What I hope that you don't come away from tonight doing is diving so far down into, well, how do you convert a cubit to yards, that you miss the fact that literally every single verse that he's using to describe this picture of heaven, he's calling back to promises of God. So that what we ought to be taking away from this description is seeing this beautifully intertwined reality, that the one who's given him the vision of what that will look like is the one that started it from the beginning, the one that laid out the promises along the way, the one that we trust is sure to complete those promises. And when he gives one of us the ability to have looked out into it, the best way that John could have described it was not to simply give us an accurate set of dimensions, right? But to give us this verse after verse after verse after verse after verse callback to all of these promises. To paint this picture, to give us this awe of the magnitude of what we have to hope for, and to do it by calling our minds back to the promises, right? That's what the point of this is. So if you start digging down deeper into it and you lose that thread, right? If you lose this idea, right? Don't lose this idea, right? Like, as you're digging in, no matter how deep down the rabbit hole of a particular thing that you dive into is, and I encourage you to do that, and we'll probably be doing that on Sunday mornings at some point as we go through the book of Revelation. But as you do that, and especially when it comes to this revelation of our hope of heaven, right? Before you start ditching the sun, before you start picturing a reality of something that you in no way could paint a picture of, instead, remember that John sees the perfect completion of all of God's promises to his people. That's what he sees. That's the point that he wants to get across. And that's why he does all of these callbacks to the promises. Is because the point is not just how many cubits it is in length, breadth, width, and height, but that God, who makes promises, keeps promises. Right? That ought to be familiar to us. That ought to be familiar to us. Do you not know the God who's made you promises and has kept those promises? Right? Draw your mind back to that. When we think about heaven, when we think about our hopes of heaven, every step along the way should draw us back. In the same way that he does this by alluding to all of these Old Testament promises as he paints this picture, that's what I want to leave you with tonight. When you think about your hope of heaven, think about the one who's made those promises. That he is faithful, that he is true, that he has demonstrated that faithfulness, he has demonstrated that truthfulness, and that when he gave John this vision, he showed John that every promise that he had made would be fully, completely, magnificently completed. That's what he saw. He saw God being true to his promises more than we could have ever even imagined. With that being said, that's where we'll close out for tonight. If you have any questions, get with me afterwards. If you would like me to send you that handout in digital form so it's a little bit easier to read, I can do that. I can do that as well. If you have a magnifying glass, that would definitely be beneficial too. With that being said, that's where we'll end. That's where we'll end tonight.